Good afternoon, Wealthy Web Writers, and thank you for being here today for this live Wealthy Web Writer event. Joining us today, we have Katie Yackel, who's the Executive Director of AWAI and a big supporter of the success of all freelancers, especially Wealthy Web Writers just like you. Katie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Now, Katie has the opportunity quite often to work with freelancers and to hire freelancers, and she's joining us today to share some of her insights and some of her tips for things that freelancers can do to make themselves more hireable by marketing directors just like herself. So, Katie, how often do you work with freelancers?
Really all the time. I'm just, as I was waiting for preparing for this call, I'm personally working with three right now on specific projects, and I would say AWAI as a whole is working at least with a dozen that I have contact with too. I may not be the main contact for them, but I'm involved in the process. So, you know, I would say I typically work with 3 to 5 at any given time, and AWAI, like I said, as a whole, probably works with, you know, a dozen to, you know, more on any given time. We love freelancers, and this is probably going to shock some people, but we don't actually even have a staff writer. We work with a lot of freelancers. It's just part of our model. We'd love to have some staff writers, and we are going to develop that within the next year, a little team within house. But even that's not going to take away from the need of freelancers that we have, and the appetite that we have. You know, working with freelancers is just a great way for us to get to know new writers. And we're such big proponents of living the writer's life, and we know that being a freelancer is a big part of that. So we always encourage it, and it really isn't an obstacle to working with us at all.
Excellent. And I know you get to rub shoulders with lots of different marketing directors in the industry. Would you say that it's pretty normal for companies like AWAI, both bigger and smaller, that do a lot of publishing to work with a number of freelancers?
Sure. Again, there's just so much writing that needs to be done. And I think maybe if people really – I think sometimes freelancers, sometimes writers don't – they're only thinking in terms of like maybe the big sales letters or the big websites or the, you know, those big projects, the big acquisition things. But on a day-to-day basis, you know, we need just dozens and dozens of communications. And, you know, Rebecca and I don't have time to do that. And like I said, we don't have staff writers. So we always turn to freelancers. Our e-letter, the company's kind of, you know, flagship e-letter right now, The Writer's Life, is written entirely by freelancers. And, you know, every week we have somebody else take a different, take the week and just run with it. And the response has been terrific. And it's so fun for everybody to get to look inside all these different people's lives and worlds as barefoot writers. And it's a great way for us to develop relationships with writers.
Excellent. I've really enjoyed the way The Writer's Life has been formatted because it gives you a chance to kind of see, really get to know the writer's voice. It's different than when you see a writer every once in a while, when you get to see them several days in a row. I think that's been very
sure. Cool. And the thing is, you know, The Writer's Life, you know, what AWA all is about is so different for every single person. Mm-hmm. What their hopes are, their dreams, their goals, what their of it is. So it's just fun to get a look inside it. And you know, everybody's path is different. Everybody kind of ends up at the same place, and that's whatever the writer's life means for them. But there's so much to be learned from other people's experience. And one thing I'm so proud of about AWAI and Wealthy Web Writer and just the whole community that we've created is how happy everybody is, happy and willing to share what's worked for them, their insights, their secrets, their paths. It's a very, you know, pay it forward, generous kind of environment that we have. So that's kind of another benefit of that.
Exactly. Now, I know one question or one thing, a stumbling block that many people have, especially when they're starting out in their career, is how to time their approach to marketers. And so I'm wondering if you can share kind of the circumstances that occur that make you decide it's time to hire a freelancer, particularly a new freelancer, someone you haven't worked with before.
Well, it's a relationship building process. You know, I definitely kind of start with baby steps. And it's really all about the quality of the work and the quality of their persuasion skills. And that really starts with the very first communication, if it's in person or if it's through an email. Making sure that they're understanding kind of the main principles of persuasion. And, you know, it starts with, you know, what's the big benefit for me? How is this going to make my life easier? And the other thing is the quality of the follow-through. That's such a huge decision. That's such a make or break as far as I'm concerned. If I have to chase copy, if I get, you know, copy that's half done, if I get excuses, you know, any of those things really knock people out of the running pretty quickly.
Very true. I know follow-through is something that I've heard many marketers mention. Once you've landed the job, it's so important to make life as easy as possible for your clients.
Just do what you say you're going to do, and don't tell me, you know, I don't want to hear, you know, how I like to work is, you know, we have the assignment, and I unless it's a very rare case, because we try not to get so up against deadlines, you know, we try to give enough room for the process to, you know, everybody be able to breathe and do their best work. I usually let the freelancer to give me the deadline, and, you know, unless it's something specific for some reason, you know, we can't do that. So, you know, it's basically, okay, whatever you say, this is your word. This is what I'm taking you on, and this is what I'm going to plan my marketing schedule around. So that's the thing that some freelancers don't really understand, is if, you know, they miss a deadline, it has a huge impact on the rest of the business, you know, on cash flow, on other marketing campaigns, on all the other activities that go along, you know, the social media plans, all this, everything's very connected. So if one thing is off, it throws everything off.
That's so true. And I would add, in addition to the direct business impact, I think many freelancers may not realize how big of a team they're actually working with. They think they're doing the writing, and then there are several other people that actually work on the project.
Several that we know, don't we, Heather?
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, those deadlines affect several other people's ability to do their best work too. So
exactly. What we're referring to is, you know, it's not just the project's not done when you turn in your draft. It has to be proofread. It has to go through, you know, sometimes it has to go through legal. Sometimes it has to be set up within the system. And mainly it has to be, the design work has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is when the, you know, the copy, we lose a couple days up front, it puts so much pressure on the rest of the team, and typically the designer who gets it last is then, you know, in a uncomfortable situation, and you know, it's not fair for one thing, and it's just, you can't do your best work.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
You know, just being respectful of all that. So I started to say, so basically, when I contract an assignment, you know, we start with the deadline is, and then I typically like to see a headline and lead first. So, you know, based on when that assignment is, and I do think it's important for the freelancer to do the headline and lead fairly quickly. Typically, we'll have a brainstorming session, and if we can get a headline and lead, like, within 48 hours of that, because you want you want to capture the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
You want to just make sure everything's fresh. So, you know, get the headline and lead done within 48 hours. And then I don't really expect to hear from the design or from the writer until the final deadline. You know, of course, if there's any questions, if they need any more information in between, I'm always available for that. But that's really the start, and it's making sure that they're following the principles that we teach at AWAI. The structure of what a sales presentation should be, and that goes for emails, it goes for web pages, it goes for catalog copy, it goes for autoresponse. You know, it's all that basic formula is the same. It's making sure that that's being executed properly, and then the follow through.
Excellent. Now, when you're looking at freelancers for a project, and let's say you've narrowed it down, you're thinking of two or three, from the freelancer's end of things, what steps can they take that kind of will set them apart and help them to push themselves over the top to land a project with AWAI?
Well, you know, I don't usually look at two or three for one project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, again, I don't want to waste anybody's time, or I don't want to make it more complicated than it needs to be. So I typically will do one at a time. So, you know, if I have assignment and I do have a pool of freelancers that I go to, and there's always room to join that pool. And we can talk about that in a minute. But, you know, I'll think about who I think is best for a project. I'll contact them. If they're not available or if there's any reason it doesn't work for them, then I'll move on to the next person. But I kind of, you know, I do it one at a time. I typically don't put a call out and say, unless it's some kind of spec challenge or something like that. If it's something that I know I need and I have a firm deadline for, I'll contact one writer at a time.
Okay, that makes sense. So now you mentioned the pool of freelancers and talking a little bit about how people can become part of that pool. What do you recommend to freelancers when they approach you
Send me a letter. Send me an email. And my email address is askkatie@awaionline.com. And, again, this cover letter really is the start of the relationship. So it's very critical and really is the deciding factor if I move on or not. And you know, the letter should be short. The letter should be direct. It should be written persuasively. It should have, you know, the power of one. It should be, you know, what is it that you would like to do for us? And how are you going to help? How are you going to, you know, make AWAI's life easier? What, you know, what are you bringing to the table?
I love that so much of what it takes to land a freelance project is actually the same skills that you learn and that you'll use in executing the freelance project.
Absolutely, and it's funny. Some people, you know, this one person, he sent me this beautiful, he attached this beautiful sales letter, but his cover letter was terrible. And I actually, you know, contacted him about it because I was such a disconnect. And, I, you know, I was thinking, well, maybe he didn't really write the sales letter. Or, you know, I didn't really understand.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, yeah, well, or, you know, or something in the letter said, well, see my letter to see what kind of writer I am. And really it's that very first contact that is going to show me what kind of writer you are.
Yes. And so you do want to, I know sometimes freelancers, they have a hard time promoting themselves, but you do have to kind of take a deep breath and just dive in and write about yourself like you would write about for any of your clients.
Exactly.
I tell web writers quite often that you have to treat yourself like a client.
Exactly.
And that's kind of how.
And think about, you know, what problems can you solve for your client? That's really what it boils down to is what problem can you solve? And typically their biggest problem is, you know, they need to generate more profits.
That's good. Good thing to keep in mind. I know sometimes both Rebecca and I get great ideas from people, but there's not really a way to make it profitable. It sounds fun and it sounds kind of neat, but
right.
you do have to think about what Katie just mentioned, that you know, how are you going to help the business to build its profits? And you need
and
to spell that out.
It's tough because you can fall in love with your ideas, and you know, there is a chance we may have heard it before, or you know, some of the ideas that we hear repeatedly are the ones that people do tend to, you know, think they're the only ones that thought of, and get very attached to them. But you know, basically, it's if. You know, there's two different kind of areas of emails like this that I like to get. One is, you know, they'd like to be part of our freelance pool. And in that case, it's really the letter and then maybe sending me one writing sample. The other is if somebody has an idea that they would like to bring to us that they think could either be a good editor, you know, maybe a good series for the writer's life, or could maybe be an interesting topic for a teleconference or webinar, or even a could turn into a program. And in that case, the letter should outline what it is, you know, give an idea of what it is, and how it would be executed and what the benefit to our members would be. Why, you know, why is anybody going to care about this?
Good. So now you mentioned already some of the common things that freelancers do that drive you crazy. One of those, the biggest one I know for just about anybody that works with freelancers, is having to chase freelancers down to get them to meet their deadlines. But are there other
It only
common...
drives me crazy once.
Exactly.
Then it doesn't drive me crazy anymore because, you know, there's too many. You know, that yes. What drives me crazy is when I get emails telling me why they're going to miss a deadline, because I, you know, that I don't have a lot of patience for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dog was sick, the house, you know, whatever it is, it's really irrelevant to me, and especially when I get them like the day before, because, you know, that generally means they haven't started yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of a deal breaker as far as I'm concerned. The other thing would be not accepting criticism, or, you know, getting defensive about their writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when copy comes in, we typically put it through a peer review process, and you know, the peer review process is a very positive experience. At least that's the goal of it, and the goal of everybody involved is to make the copy as strong as it should be. And you know, it's structured in a way that it doesn't get into like, oh well, this stinks, or you know, this is bad, or you know, change, you know, it's suggestions for changes are presented in a way that makes it stronger in a positive way. You know, if people don't follow those suggestions, you know, they think that their way is the right way, no matter what everyone else involved in the process thinks. That can be annoying.
Yes.
You know, that's not a good sign. And if things are just surface, if I see that there hasn't been any extra thinking done, any extra legwork done, any extra research, you know, we have so much information available. We have so much, such a wealth of quality benefits and nuggets and facts and proof. You know, we have so much available for all of our products.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody just kind of scratches the surface and doesn't really come up with anything like a new way of saying kind of the same thing, or just, if I can tell that there hasn't been a lot of thought in something, I don't appreciate that. Boy, I didn't think I was going to have many things for this. I'm coming up with a list, aren't I?
You are, and I love the point that you just made. Anytime you're approaching a client, and this, I think, comes back to even before you start the project, when you're pitching an idea, you want to spend a lot of time looking at their sites and what information that they already have so that you are bringing them something new, that you're bringing them something valuable and worthwhile. I think that's such an excellent point, both before and during the project.
Right.
So I appreciate that one.
I think that's about all. You know, those are kind of not signs of not qualities in freelancers I appreciate.
Yeah, be on time, do your homework. And
yes.
It's all very, and be respectful. It's all very common sense.
Sure.
So what are some of the things that freelancers who work with you have done that have really kind of set them apart? Do you have any anecdotes that you'd like to share?
Well, it's doing the things that we talked about is giving the, delivering the very best first draft that they can on the day that they said they would. That's it. And another thing I want to just point out that some people don't realize is rare. I think it's unheard of that, a first draft is actually what gets is the final draft. And so I don't want people to feel like there's so much pressure to have the first draft be perfect. You know, many times there's 3, 4, 5, even more drafts, because a lot of these things are works in progress, and we're all figuring it out together. You know, what is the big idea? What is the core promise here? How can we make this better, stronger than anything else out there? So, as important as the first draft is, it really is just the start of the process, or it's start of phase two of the process. So not to put too much pressure on that, but to make sure that if we've discussed what we think the, if we've decided on kind of what the one big idea is or what the big promise is, to make sure that's the direction we've gone into, unless there's a really good reason not to. And it really is just following everything that we teach. Make sure your headline follows the four U's and your subhead and your bullets. Don't skip over the offer or the order device. Every part of the letter is very important. And you can kind of see everybody's puts out so much effort into the headline and lead, and then they maybe kind of skate on the rest of it. We have such great I don't want to say templates, but for lack of a better word, proven structures that work. So just make sure that you're hitting all that. Oh, the one thing that is just, doesn't fly is an immediate deal breaker is if anything's made up or not factual or, can't be
verified.
Verified, I did deal with one freelancer, and these stories in this letter, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. Who are these people? How come I haven't heard about these people? Oh, well, I made them up. you just wrote some great fiction, but that doesn't really help us much. So, making sure that everything's true and accurate is, a lot of times, I forget that I even have to say that because I just expect it to go without saying.
But it is good because sometimes, you read sales letters and I imagine some of the stories, they're true, but they seem so fantastic. But I imagine people entering the field might think, well, obviously they make things up. I read this amazing story that couldn't possibly have been true. But if it's in a sales letter, and that company is a reputable company, the stories are true every time.
Yes, you're really playing with fire if that's not the case.
So I had a connecting point there that just flew out of my brain. I hate it when that happens. Sorry
well,
about that.
I'm kind of jumping all over the place here, aren't I?
No, well, you're providing such great information and giving such an insight into, you know, what freelancers should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing in order to make their clients happy. And that's really what it comes down to. And I remembered my point. I work with a client, and you were talking about the editing process and the drafting process and how that first draft is not, you know, that's not where things are going to end up. And some writers kind of struggle with taking those edits personally. And I have a client that just told me, he said, you know, I will edit the things you write. The things that I edit most are the ones that I like best. He says, because you've written something.
Yes, I've said that, and I've had that said to me, because the shows are something to work with.
There's something to work with, and oftentimes you write something that inspires a whole new train of thought in somebody else. And so it really is a collaborative and fun process when you don't take things personally, when you start bouncing ideas off of each other, and it can be really neat. So, you know, one of the things that Rebecca and I always say are the marketer that you're working with, the person you're working with, wants you to succeed, because that means they succeed.
And so
the feedback they're giving you is meant to help you succeed. So take it in that light rather than thinking that they're tearing you down.
Yep.
Well, I think I've hit on all the major points that I wanted to cover with you today. And I was just wondering if you have some parting advice for freelancers when it comes to promoting themselves and marketing their services to marketing directors, executive directors, all the people in the industry that have tons of things that need to be written and are looking for good freelancers.
Well, you know, do it. Get started. That's really the most important thing. And, you know, give yourself a goal. You know, think of, you know, I don't know, 10 dream companies. And, you know, that doesn't mean they have to be huge, you know, nationally known companies, but just 5 or 10 companies that you personally would like to work with. They may be companies that you're a customer of. They may just be e-letters or websites that you like to receive, that you like to visit. And then find out, you know, then just break it down. Maybe find out, you know, who the marketing director, who the copy chief is for each of those companies, and then, you know, write one letter a day, but write a personal letter to that particular person that shows your passion for their company. And that's really all you need to do. Just write, you know, a heartfelt letter that, you know, you'd like to be involved with them in their team, and you know, here are all the things that you can do to help, and you're ready, willing, and able to do it.
Excellent. May I ask a quick follow-up question in regards to that?
Sure.
I know some freelancers are worried about becoming a pest. So how often and how long do you recommend that a freelancer follow up with a marketer who doesn't maybe have a project for them right now and hasn't been responsive so far?
Well, you know, it is a line, but I would say when you have something to say other than remember me, I was just talking to somebody. One of our members, she did one of the spec assignments from boot camp, and the client really liked it and said that they wanted to talk to her about some other projects. So, of course, she was over the moon, you know, very, very excited. And I think maybe they had one call and they talked about some things, and then she didn't hear back from them. And she just wasn't sure kind of what that next step would be. And I think Rebecca is the one who spoke to her, or gave her this advice, said, you know, reach out to them, but offer them something that's of interest to them. And I think she found like an article or you know, there was something that she could send to them that was of interest to their specific business, and or, you know, to that particular person. And so, you know, hey, I just wanted to, you know, follow up on you know, our last conversation where we talked about this. Really looking forward to finishing that project. In the meantime, here's this and this. Thought you might be interested in it. And, you know, the client called, you know, got back in touch with the next day. Oh, thank you so much. You know, something had happened to somebody. There was some emergency, you know, and that does happen, that, you know, life gets in the way and clients get busy and they get distracted by the next thing. But if when you're contacting them, there is a benefit for the client or the marketer, that usually pays off in dividends. So I don't know if that really answers the question.
I think it does.
I think the important thing is that whenever you do reach out, that it's a personalized letter. It's not just a canned. It doesn't read like a canned, you know, auto email blast. That that it is personalized to the person that you're speaking to, as far as the past conversations go. And again, you don't take it personally. If they don't respond, you kind of use the rule of thumb how would you feel if you were in their shoes? And that's the rule for everything. It's, you know, treat people like you want to be treated.
Very good advice. Well, Katie, I want to thank you again. I know you've had such a busy schedule this last month, and I just appreciate you making the time to be on this call with us and to share some of your insights with our freelance web writers so that they can approach people that would hire them with more confidence. I appreciate the advice you've shared today very much.
Just one more thing. I think everybody listening would be really surprised that a lot of people don't do this. And, you know, like at boot camp, you know, with all the wonderful opportunities there and spec assignments and marketers there, it's really surprising how many people don't follow through, that don't make that effort. So just take a deep breath and do it. Don't let any kind of fear or lack of confidence or anything like that hold you back. And, you know, you're going to learn something from every experience along the way, and you just never know where things lead. You know, you could send a letter today, and you might not hear something for 3-6 months, but, you know, down the road, it can pay off dividends. So it's being very proactive and positive and not taking things personally.
Excellent advice. And sometimes just taking action is all it takes to start that snowball rolling downhill.
It's a snowball. It does become a snowball.
All right. Well, I think that wraps us up. I appreciate
Fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
And if there's anything that you'd like to add?
This was fun.
Oh, thank you. This was very fun. I love listening to marketers and people that work with freelancers talk about what it's like on the other end of the desk, because it's so inspiring and so motivating and so informative and very, very helpful. So
great.
Thank you again. Thank you, Wealthy Web Writers, for attending.
Okay,
this
good
event
luck
today.
To everybody, and I hope I get some emails.
Definitely. Send some emails, ask some questions. We love feedback.
Great.
Thank you again,
okay,
and have a
bye,
great
everybody.
Day. Bye.
Bye-bye.